Welcome to Move Like This, brought to you by the Accounting Move Project and sponsored by Moss Adams and Sapro. On this podcast, we share ideas and hear from guests about how they find, retain, develop, and advance women and other underrepresented groups in their accounting firms. Now, on to our guest. Hello, and thank you so much for being here today on this episode of Move Like This. I am excited to be talking today to Jessica Hikmadja. She is the Chief Marketing and Corporate Development Officer at BPM. So thank you for being here today, Jessica.
Thank you so much for having me. Perfect pronunciation. We were just talking about last names and you just
We both have the challenging last name. So I am very sensitive to that for other people. I forgive a lot, but I want to get it right. So let's dive right in. And I want to talk a little bit about BPM was named to both the Best CPA Firms for Women and the Best CPA Firms for Equity Leadership in 2023. I'd love to hear from you, firsthand perspective, of what you think makes BPM a standout firm in public accounting.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And again, thank you so much for the opportunity, Bonnie. It's funny, anyone I talk to, I tell them like BPM is the unicorn company. And it's just so different from any other firm I've ever worked for. And when we talk about what makes the firm so different, I really think it stems from our mission and our vision and our brand promise. Anyone who knows us or who has worked with us or worked for us can speak to our brand promise of because people matter. And at the end of the day, everything that we do for our clients and our colleagues and community stems from that. So it's only natural that our diversity, inclusion, equity, and belonging efforts, including our colleague resource groups, including what we do for underrepresented groups, including women, is a part of that and breeds from that. It's part of our leadership. It's part of what makes us unique. It's part of the messaging. It's part of the way we operate and the way that we pursue our growth strategy is having a focus on people.
I love that, having because people matter just as the driving force. I think that's fantastic. We just mentioned that you made both lists last year. And to make it onto the Best CPA Firms for Equity Leadership list, a firm's partner group must be comprised of at least 31% women. That's the percentage that is commonly seen as a tipping point where a minority group reaches enough critical mass to be seen and heard as individuals rather than others or part of a smaller group that is often easier to dismiss. I'm not suggesting that this is how BPM's partner group acted, but I would like to know what led to your percentage of women partners moving fairly substantially from 23% in 2022 to 31% in 2023.
Yeah, I think that's a great point and a great question. And just to go back to the prior question that you had asked in speaking about our growth strategy, a lot of the actions that we take to have the tremendous growth that we've had has resulted in this difference in percentage indirectly, right? So for example, for those of us who are familiar with BPM, know that we were recently B Corp certified. When we survey our clients around our annual client satisfaction survey, we ask them specifically around the experiences they have with our brand and our team members through our actions and their client experiences around diversity and exclusivity. And I'll just share this most recent statistic of the clients who we surveyed this past year, 91% said that we always show diversity and inclusivity through our actions, branding, and client experiences, which contributes significantly to our overall net promoter score and directly impacts our client retention and overall business results. So again, just another example that underscores this is part of everything that we do. We don't say like, okay, this is a nice to have. This is something that we want to focus on. It's something that is part of our DNA as an operation, as an organization. In terms of the jump compared from 23% in 2022 to 31% in 2023, you know, one of the things that we talked to you and Joanne about is, like most fast-growing firms, we do this both organically and inorganically. And so when we do it inorganically through business combinations and like-minded firms, there's a huge opportunity for us to invite women who are part of those firms to join leadership opportunities. And so that was a huge, again, piece of our operating strategy. when we are looking to grow in new geographies and specialty areas and industries and to expand. We want to give opportunities not only to our clients to access these new services and solutions that we offer in the new industries and geos, but also to elevate our new colleagues into new leadership roles where they might not have that opportunity at their prior organization for whatever reason. So we're really excited to be able to do that and to be able to see that increase again just happen organically because there's such an opportunity there.
Wow, that's great. And I like the idea of looking for like-minded firms. I've actually been a part of some of those as an external consultant, firms joining together, merger acquisition kind of work. And I gotta tell you, when it's not like-minded, or have firms coming on board that may not see DEI as a priority or feel as it is as important to promote women or look at that from an equitable point of view, it can turn into a little bit of a mess. So, and I like to hear that BPM is really taking that into account, along with service line alignment and all of those other things, I'm sure. But I think that's as important as all the other factors.
Yeah, we've been very fortunate with our business combinations and all of the firms who we've had the opportunity to combine with really do celebrate the importance of diversity and equity and inclusion. And so we haven't had any issues there. It's just, again, a matter of how do we present those opportunities through the programming and through the initiative. So I know, again, being one of the firms who've had the opportunity to participate in the MOVE survey for several years now, we've talked about pipeline and we've talked about leadership development programs. And again, just to share some statistics, 60% of the participants in our transformational next gen leadership development programs are women. 40% of the participants in our Inspire leadership development programs are made up of people of color. And 50% of those elevated to partner this year were women. Looking at both of those opportunities, both through the business combinations, both again through things that we're doing as part of our operating strategy, as part of our colleague engagement strategy, leadership development strategy, how are we looking at the metrics? How are we making sure that we're continuing to operate in a way that's meaningful across the organization?
And measurement's important. That's one of the things that the Accounting MOVE Project, where Joanne and I have talked many times about the fact that programs are great, but I don't really want to hear about your programs. I want to hear about the results of your programs. And the fact that you're measuring things, I think, is also important because a lot of, you would think that's kind of just baked in, but it's not always as much as you would think.
The tricky thing is sometimes you can't measure it that quickly, right? Some of these things take time. It might look different. It might feel different. And it might feel like you're not moving the needle, or it might feel like you're not at a place where you can't see the change. So you have to do what makes sense for you and your organization and where you're at. I think even having the conversation of inclusivity and diversity and understanding the challenges that each of those groups face is a huge milestone.
Absolutely. And in that vein, we talk a lot about how DEI and women's initiatives need to have leadership buy-in to work. But I feel like BPM takes this to the apex with your CEO, Jim Wallace, not only supporting this work, but in fact, leading the firm's DEI strategy, which does not often happen with managing partner roles. He is also a former member of the AICPA's Women's Initiative Executive Committee and passionate about creating an inclusive environment at BPM. So, how did this come about, and how do you think his leadership has impacted your programs and policies at the firm?
Yeah, I feel like we can have a whole separate podcast around Jim. Jim has been personally a mentor to me and an advocate to me. When I joined BPM, I was a marketing manager. That's what I was hired for. And over the last 9 years, I've just had the most incredible opportunity to grow and excel because of his support, similar to several other colleagues who are on our C-suite. Because of his empathetic and authentic leadership, it's just provided so many opportunities to colleagues across the organization, whether they're women or men. But in general, just giving them the opportunity to grow and to be the best version of themselves, because that's the way that he leads. He leads by example. He leads by understanding, again, the people side of things and trusting that we all have the opportunity and identifying where we can best support them. So I think that, again, it needs to come from the top, and having that as the face of the organization, as the voice of the organization, the transparency, the authenticity, encouraging new opportunities and being okay with failure and saying, like, yes, like, it's okay, we failed. What did we learn from it? And let's move on. Makes a world of a difference. Jim also credits his leadership to what he experienced growing up and how his own father was a CEO in the 70s to the 90s who focused on advancing underrepresented people, including women. And he was directly witness to that in a white male modeling DEIB behaviors. So I think firsthandedly, being a father to a daughter, being a brother to sisters, and seeing his own experiences with his father is reflected in the way that he leads and the way that he runs BPM and our organization. I also think that, looking again at the metrics, we've seen that internal women candidates have increased every year since he's joined the firm. So there is an intention there around opportunities for us to like really look at the numbers, look at the metrics and the decisions that we're making and the programs that we're implementing and the way that we show up, not only to say these things, but actually mean them in the way that we grow. There's so much that we can share about Jim and all the amazing things that he's done and the way that he supports our colleagues. And specifically in launching our new strategic plan this year, we have a strategic priority around colleagues, calling out the way that we want to shape an inclusive and diverse leadership workforce.
I love all of that so much. And I love the fact that he had a role model in his father. Not that the 70s to 90s was all that long ago. It's actually longer than it feels like it was. But, that was not extraordinarily common to have a CEO that really had a focus on advancing women. And I love that he has continued with that in his own role as managing partner.
Yeah, and I think what's really unique is that there are opportunities to rise to the ranks if that's what you want to do. At BPM, we have our Chief Transformation Officer is a female. She's amazing, Lindsay Stevenson. Our Chief Financial Officer, Wen, is amazing. There are several roles across the organization that are very impactful to the way that we grow and we operate and we change, and they're led by these incredible women. And it's just really fun to see.
Yeah, I bet. Now, one of the other things that we talked about last year during the Accounting Move Project interview is the fact that BPM has a number of active employee resource groups, or as you refer to them, colleague resource groups, including the Women's Initiative Now. Tell us about that program and the work it does for the firm, as well as, the input that you get from other colleague resource groups.
Yeah, so at BPM, we have a total of 8 colleague resource groups. We have the AAPI resource group, the Black resource group, caregivers, disabilities, interfaith, Latin, LGBTQIA+, and then, of course, WIN. WIN is the longest standing and largest standing colleague resource group at BPM. I think we're close to 200 members of our 1,300 workforce total. So it's just really, really fun to see. And it's kind of exploded, I think, for a number of reasons. Of course, we've been growing virtually, like many organizations. Even prior to COVID, we saw an opportunity to, again, provide leadership opportunities, new opportunities to people who needed flexibility. And so having this virtual environment provided that, notwithstanding challenges, of course, but at the same time, for those women who are in leadership roles and who are pursuing their career and need that flexibility because they also have responsibilities with small children or parents or other commitments outside of the organization, that was a huge opportunity for us to say we want to grow in the space and be able to offer that up. As we continue to grow virtually, there was a need and a desire to connect. And so that's where we've been continuously seeing the growth of the WinCRG, and not as a social opportunity, but as an opportunity to really provide an outlet and a safe space for these women to get together. And so last year, with the growth of the CRGs, we have 4 amazing champions who really lead what we're trying to accomplish in terms of our mission, in terms of bringing this circle of women and allies. We do have male members in our WIN CRG together. And so we created 4 subcommittees. We have an events subcommittee. They're responsible for planning and organizing events and activities aimed at fostering a sense of community and promoting engagement across all of our CRGs. We have a professional development committee responsible for planning and implementing programs and initiatives specifically for our CRG members. We have a committee relations group of individuals who are responsible for keeping the internal brand of the CRG strong in line with our mission. And we have our resource committee. So hearing our members, identifying opportunities where we can go back to our people team, back to leadership and say, hey, here are the opportunities that are coming up with these individuals where we might want to explore resources or mentorship opportunities or benefits directly from our colleagues and opportunities where we can best support them. So it's been really cool to see how it's naturally kind of grown and the things that we've been able to do. Just last month, we hosted a program between the WIN and Black CRGs, highlighting some of our Black female leaders at the organization, transitioning Black History Month out and welcoming Women's History Month. So it was really, really fun to see that. And we just had so much positive feedback about when are we doing this again? And how can we get access to these incredible women? And what kind of mentorship opportunities are available for us? We're partnering with Cassie Rushing, who I'm sure many are familiar with as well, and May for the WIN CRG and the Caregiver CRG to get together and host a panel for working mothers and impactful leadership. And so it's been very, very fun to see that we have these different colleague resource groups, but then bringing them together to see where there are opportunities and alignments across our workforce and where we can best support them.
I love the fact that it is, they're very active groups and they're not just colleagues supporting each other, but really having an impact on the firm and the direction that it goes and the business it pursues and how it even sounds like it could be impacting your messaging and things like that. So I love the fact that one, they exist, but two, that they really are built into the fabric of the firm.
Yeah, and it's funny because we hear a lot from our recruiting team, our talent acquisition team, that they're like, oh, people hear about BPM and they're like, oh, you're the Because People Matter firm. You guys have so much going on around inclusion and diversity. And I love the posts that you guys are sharing and how you actually show up in the community. And it's not just in your messaging, but we're actually seeing BPMers out there doing these things that you guys are talking about. So it is very, very, very rewarding and cool.
So with all that in mind, what advice do you have for other firms that are looking to expand their talent pipeline and attract, retain, and promote more women?
Yeah, so I think the most important thing is like do what's right for you where you're at. Every company is unique, every company is different, different resources, different structure. I think you have to first remember that and not compare yourself. And it has to come from the top. If there is no buy-in from leadership, if there is no interest from the top, it's going to be really, really, really hard to do anything because if people aren't bought in, then there's nothing in it for them, right? Like if this isn't something that leadership agrees with or aligns with or invests in, and they're not putting their personal capital on the line, then it's going to be really hard to drive any type of initiative programming messaging. It's important to lead by example. So once you have that buy-in from the top, how are they living and breathing this, right? So we just talked about a couple of examples at BPM, the way that our leaders, our CEO, even these CRGs, they each have an executive sponsor that's made up of someone in a leadership role. And they're also champions who are supported by those executive sponsors. Measuring your impact, whatever that means, however you define that, but being able to say, like, okay, last year we were here. These are the one, two, or three things that we want to accomplish in the next 12 to 24 months, and then comparing that data. And being intentional, right? Like, we always joke about getting comfortable with the uncomfortable. Like, what does that mean? What does that look like? And you have to be okay with that. Like, you have to be okay getting in a meeting and someone might say something that you might not agree with, or you didn't feel comfortable hearing, and that's okay, right? Creating this safe space and understanding that we all have different perspectives, but how is that shaping the way that we want to show up and shaping the way that we think? The diversity of thought piece is what drives the inclusion, giving the opportunity for people to have that space, again, to be able to have these meaningful discussions wherever they're at to assess what makes sense for the organization and for its workforce. And men and women need to be part of that conversation. There has to be both. You cannot have a women's colleague resource group, ERG, whatever you want to call it, without having men be part of that discussion. Biggest thing that we hear is like, I want to help, but I don't know how. And so how are you going to drive meaningful change if men aren't there and they're not part of that?
And I'm a big believer in the whole, you're going to have to get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I was having a conversation with somebody recently, and I'm going to mess up and it isn't me or this other person that came up with it, but the idea of calling people in rather than calling people out.
Yeah, totally.
That way you can have a conversation. And you know what? So many people are afraid to move at all because they're afraid to say something wrong and then be torn down for it, or just making a mistake. And you know, we're all learning, and we have to learn that different people are different places in their journey in learning about DEI and having these conversations. And we have to do so in a way that we're all open-minded. We all are there to learn. And if we say something wrong, understand that that was something wrong. Somebody's going to point that out to me. I'm not going to get defensive and angry about that. This is an opportunity for me to learn and do better so that down the road I'm communicating better and I'm a better ally or a better support.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's why it needs to come from the top, right? So if you have that tone from the top where you're hearing it's okay, like let's have these tough conversations. Let's talk about like what's on your mind, what are you hearing, what's going on, and you have those diverse perspectives, then it makes it so much, I don't want to say easier because it's still hard to have those conversations, but it makes it a little bit more digestible to say like this is really hard for me and I don't know how people are going to respond, but I know that we want to do better. So let's have that discussion. Let me share my perspectives. I mean, and we've had meetings where people have cried, people have left, we had to regroup, like, but at the end of the day, we learned from it and we said, okay, this is what happened the last time. What did we learn from it? Like, what could we be doing differently? What were the outcomes and what were we hoping for? And so that I think in itself is just such a rewarding experience to be able to say, like, it's okay. Like, that's totally okay. It was a little bit uncomfortable. It was a little bit scary because there were some things that were said, or there were some things that we didn't realize we needed to address, but at least it was on the table. And at least now, like, we have visibility into that.
And it's not buried under the surface, creating, that whole idea of it festering and creating issues. Like, let's get it out. Let's have that conversation, and then we can move on. It's in some ways gone. I am such a big believer in all of that. And as someone who, goes in and does DEI training with organizations, I can tell you I have observed and been a part of some very awkward conversations. But I think everybody still leaves the room learning a little bit and knowing a little bit more and being a little bit better. That's all we can ask for. So I want to close with a couple of fun questions. So, Jessica, when you were 5 years old, what did you want to be when you grew up?
So I can't tell you why, but I just remember when I was younger, I told everyone I wanted to be the president of the world. That was just my response. And I don't know why I said that, but that was just what I wanted to be.
Obviously, it was somehow instilled in you that women can have power and you are going to grab all of it.
I appreciate you saying that.
I like that. If you were given the chance to go travel anywhere for free, you don't have to worry about time off or schedules or anything like that, where would you go and why?
This is a hard question to answer. I mean, there's so many incredible places that I've had the opportunity to see and want to see. My husband and I traveled to Japan before we had kids. And we were there for a little less than 2 weeks, and it was the most incredible experience. I mean, there was just so much to see and digest, and it's such a rich culture that I would love the opportunity just to go there and not have a time stamp of when I need to return. It, again, it's just such a rich culture, and it was so unique and so incredible, and there's just so much to take in, and I didn't feel like I had enough time. So I would love to go back there.
Yeah, I have never had the opportunity to travel to Asia, but I definitely want to.
Yeah, you should.
I have a friend right now that lives in Tokyo, so I really need to take the opportunity while she's there to go and visit.
Yeah.
And if you could have one superpower, what would it be?
Time travel. I would love to experience and see things from different perspectives. We all talk about, learning from history. My parents have a very, very complex and heavy history being Persian Jews growing up in Iran and having to deal with the Islamic regime and coming to the US and their experience there. I think that was a pretty incredible journey that they had. And they talk about growing up in Iran and how fun it was and how, again, unique it was. So having the opportunity to do that. And then again, talking about women and women's leadership and just having visibility into some of the challenges and some of the experiences that women in leadership roles have faced throughout history and being able to go back in time and see what happened, how they dealt with it, the conversation behind closed doors. And I think that would be really cool.
We could go and, sit down with Susan B. Anthony or somebody and have a great
Yeah.
conversation, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I like that. Well, Thank you so much for being here today. I really do appreciate it and really enjoyed learning more about BPM and what they have going on. And we are very close to, and actually, by the time this airs, we will probably have opened the Accounting Move project for registration and just really excited to have this conversation and appreciate your time.
Thank you for the opportunity, Bonnie. This was so fun.
Thank you for listening to Move Like This, brought to you by the Accounting Move Project and sponsored by Moss Adams and SACPRO. If you'd like to learn more, visit our website at accountingmoveproject.com. Don't forget to subscribe and share with your friends and colleagues too. I'm your host, Bonnie Buell-Russick, and until next time, keep moving forward.